Last holiday season, I received an advent calendar from the Burpee Company. Instead of chocolate, or whatever treat is typically secreted behind the 25 doors of an advent calendar, this one contained seeds, beets, basil, tomatoes, poppies, cauliflower, radishes, watermelon. I'd have preferred chocolates, but since I was now the owner of lots of seed packets, I decided to do something I've never done before, grow vegetables from scratch. The reason for my inexperience is that I grew up in the city, and I come from generations of city people. They never cultivated anything either. So it's not as if I had a grandfather or grandmother who served as a repository of farming knowledge. My wife was somewhat better informed, if only to the extent of coaching me, that if I wanted to grow a plant from seed, the first step was to buy seed trays and soil. I did as instructed, watered, and lo and behold, within a week or so, delicate shoots began to emerge. Come May, I removed the slender seedlings from the flats and planted them in the four raised beds in our garden. I'm not sure whether or which one survived, because I bowed to popular demand and purchased plants at a local farm store that looked like they stood a reasonable chance of surviving long enough to bear something edible. But whether it's seeds I grew from scratch or young plants I bought in a store doesn't really matter. The point is to participate in the wonders of nature, and as marvelous, even miraculous, as the experience is, I suspect it's heightened by the fact, as I said, that I'm a city boy, the product of concrete and tall buildings, of parks and playgrounds, rather than fertilizer and harrowed fields. Each morning, when I go down to our garden to see what's grown or changed overnight, it's like living a second childhood. And watering is a daily way of nurturing living things, something my family will testify I've never exhibited a pronounced talent for. I spoke to a writer recently, another city kid who bought a house upstate. She told me she finds it hard to work on her screenplay because she'd rather be weeding. There are actually similarities between gardening and writing, attention to detail perhaps the most prominent. The difference is that you don't feel under any pressure to come up with bright ideas in the garden. The sun and soil have already taken care of that. Lawn mowing may have been my first adult experience of partnering with the earth. I discovered I love mowing. It's similar to writing in that you wrestle to exert control over a tiny corner of the universe. I doubt I'd feel the same way if I'd lived in a house with a front lawn as a kid and been forced to mow it before I could go out and play. I deduce, from watching 50s TV shows such as Leave It to Beaver, that that's the sort of chore suburban and country kids are forced to suffer. But because I never had to do anything more strenuous than clean up my bedroom, I'm able to see mowing as a creative endeavor. Sometimes I mow in one direction, sometimes the other. Occasionally I'll even mow in circles. But the point is that once it's done, it's perfect or close enough. Writing, on the other hand, can always be improved. There's a scene in the W.C. Fields movie It's a Gift, where Harold Bissonnette, played by the comedian, abandons his grocery store and drives to California to buy an orange grove. A lot happens in between, including Fields suffering the scorn of his family who consider him a sucker. But Fields has the last laugh. It turns out the barren plot of land he bought is wanted by a developer to build a racetrack, and the final scene shows him plucking oranges from a tree on his veranda and squeezing fresh juice fortified with booze from his flask. His nagging wife and bratty son have departed for town in their shiny new car, leaving him in peace. I can relate. Minus the nagging wife and bratty son, because one of the pleasures of last summer was picking cherry tomatoes from our garden, sprinkling them with Hawaiian black lava sea salt. I like the visual of black salt against red or yellow tomatoes, and enjoying them as a healthy snack during cocktail hour. My first cherry tomatoes of this season are due to ripen any moment. There's also a flowering mystery vine I just discovered, snaking through one of the planting beds. Might it be a watermelon seed that survived to tell about it?